Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1160. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahib Abdul-Hadi. What is up, good sir?
I hope everyone is doing well. And as an old friend says, as long as it's in your heart, anybody can be Mexican.
Oh, very nice. Just straight leading into the topic that we talked about ahead of time here. Ludwig Kaiser, better known as, he's just El Grande Americano now.
Yes.
While Chad Gable is the original El Grande Americano. And, it is wild. We've been talking about this on and off, on this show. I've seen some of like the short clips on online of this reaction, but man, it is really something to behold. Like, it feels like the hottest thing in wrestling that you can see on the North American continent.
This man got out of jail after defending his woman's honor against a bigot. But, you know, also bailed out by his best friend Gunther, by the way, which is just kind of icing on the cake. Comes back to Mexico and is treated like a conquering hero. And I'm just sitting here like, you couldn't, if you weren't a fan of pro wrestling and you tried to explain this story to somebody that didn't watch pro wrestling, they would look at you like you were insane.
Like,
nothing about the story would make any sense whatsoever.
No, it's, and sometimes it doesn't make any sense to me because I have not really watched any AAA other than those short clips. Like, I see how hot it is because I see the reaction of the crowd. Like, I have eyes and ears because that shit's loud too.
He's getting Stone Cold Steve Austin reactions, and that is not a overreaction or overblown. I'm watching clips. And you just hear the crowd roar. And I'm like, I'm looking at the screen like, I know he's over, but like this? And you just see, and it just happened organically. And it's wild because it started off as a joke. Like, he basically subbed in because Chad Gable got hurt. And he just decided, like, you know what? I'm going to embrace the gimmick. I'm not going to make it a joke. I'm going to play it straight. And it just worked. Like, he spoke the language. You see him embracing the culture. And people's like, oh, this is different. Because they were used to Chad Gable kind of making fun of it. It's like, oh, is Ludwig doing some meta stuff? It's like, does he actually think he's Mexican? And then the crowd starting to embrace him. He's dating a ring announcer in real life. You get by a few months. People handing him babies, people singing songs, he's kissing grandmas, and it's just, then he gets Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne wrapped up in it, and it's working for them, and they're getting cheered, and I'm sitting here like...
Yeah, Rio and Bravo, maybe not key parts, but boy, they are definitely benefiting from this phenomenon.
And they add nuance to it because one of them dressed like a cowboy Mexican and one of them dressed like a cholo Mexican when they're not even in wrestling tights. And I'm sitting here like, they are whatever you want to say about them, they are putting in the work. Like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this 100%. And the crowd, and it's wild because when you watch them on Raw, the crowd is kind of like, I don't know what to make of this. Like, they still kind of want to feel like they want to cheer for Chad Gable a little bit. When they're on NXT or AAA, it's like, oh, it's Steve Austin and the Von Erich brothers.
and that is still the other crazy thing about this whole situation. Like, you don't need to go that far to see how over this thing is, but you bring it north of the border for some... The only place that they got a good reaction, I would say, it was maybe 2 weeks ago when they were down in Texas somewhere.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Which makes sense. Where was that?
I think they were like Laredo. They were Laredo, yeah, which is like right next to the damn border. So,
so yeah, like, I feel like that was the only location. It's just like, yeah, there's kind of some geographic sense to it being a little more over there than a little further north. But they haven't told the story, I guess, as well on regular, you know, WWE TV.
Yeah, they kind of like drop bits and pieces talking about, you know, this is a Portland mass versus mass thing. But it's kind of like, if you're not watching Triple A and you just watch them on Raw, the storyline makes no sense whatsoever. It's just kind of like two people pretending to be luchadors. And it's like, sometimes, depending on what town you are, it's like sometimes the crowd cheers Chad Gable and sometimes the crowd cheers Kaiser. You watch Triple A and it's like each week they're building up to something. Like it started off, you know, I'm the real luchador. You don't even speak Spanish. You're using a voice box. You don't respect the culture. Then it became, you know, you took my spot. I was the original. The Creed brothers get involved. Then they add this, like, that stipulation. Like, they've been building up this match for, like, what, 2 months?
Yeah, that's the other thing that is just weird between the two brands, too, is that they're the Creeds down in Mexico, but for some reason they're Julio and Bruto or something in the WWE. And it's just like, what the hell's happening here?
I mean, you have, like I say, they're respecting the culture. They're respecting the culture. Like I say, you're going to get mad at a gringo trying to speak a little Spanish, as the old saying goes. So, and then the whole stipulation where we can't touch each other. If you want the match, you have to fire your girlfriend. And she's like, you know, this is more important than me. And then you got El Grande make her like, I'm not just doing this for me. I'm doing this for my woman. I'm doing this for Mexico. And he sounds like legit. And the crowd is looking at him like, one thing you learn about that crowd is if you put your heart into it and you show like you care and you like actively like putting it in, they will embrace you. They have embraced him. Like he came back out of jail. He's out there. Had a couple thousand people there, like a random day. They got murals on the wall. He's sitting there crying like, this is for me. Like almost kind of like he couldn't even believe how over he was.
I don't blame him. I mean, he has obviously never been that over in his career. Like very few people have been that over.
And it didn't take that long. And it just happened just naturally. And this, it went from, is he over because they think it's funny? Like, it's wild because you think about the people that's over right now. And I think of like three people that's over in completely different ways, like him, Obafemi, and Danhausen. And how they got there are very disparate paths. And yet I see El Grande Americano getting treated like El Santo in Mexico. Danhausen's there in Madison Square Garden throwing curses on the damn cast right where they get swept. And everybody's in the Obafemi dance. And I'm like, this is all happening at the same time. It all makes sense if you watch wrestling. It doesn't make any sense if you don't watch wrestling. And I'm very curious to see, you know, Saturday. Like, yeah, he can't be Ludwig Kaiser again. Like, that's, yeah.
Oh, yeah. As weird as going back to Chad Gable is going to be, just because, let's just face it, Chad Gable has not had a great run as himself, despite having very good skills. Like, I don't completely understand where the...
it's height one. You know, he was 3 inches tall, we would be having this conversation. And then also what happened was, and it started kind of like why people feel a certain way about Sami Zayn. He got his spot taken by Sami Zayn when he was feuding with Gunther. And everybody wanted him to beat Gunther, and Gunther beat him in front of his family and made his family cry. And then the match went to Sami Zayn, and basically Chad Gable turned heel because it's like he got pushed by the wayside. And that's basically how it started. It's
That's how that started, honestly. Like, I remember that happening, but it had forgotten about that.
Oh, that was when Gunther was on his low key, I'm going to be the biggest asshole. Like, he beat that man up in front of his family, made his daughters cry, and laughed. And I remember Twitter was just having a ball, like, that's the old school heels. Now I'm like, that kid's going to be traumatized. And then that's why people start feeling a certain way about Sami Zayn. It's like, That's not right. He took Chad Gable's spot, which is hilarious. Kind of like he had anything. Like he's an employee. Like you, that's not his fault that
Oh,
people like
nope.
him, and somehow that end up laying the seeds for Sami Zayn to become heel. So yeah, so that's how that started. Like yeah, Chad Gable was kind of the talent was there, the skills was there. It was a height issue. Like we're not as we're not a we're not. We have different body types than we had back in the day, but height still matters.
Yeah, definitely one of those things where you still got to have either be that over with the crowd, and I don't think Gable's ever been that over with the crowd. Like, I don't think he's been bad, but I also don't think that, he's gotten the pops that we're talking about for Ludwig Kaiser here
Yeah.
at any point, so.
I mean, I don't, like you said, I can't remember the last time somebody was as over. And also, it's funny, like, it's just in a particular spot because it's kind of like, I like how they're taking wrestlers who they don't have positions for in WWE and use them in AAA because it's kind of like, the Viking Raiders are down there getting work
Oh,
in, Omos
yep.
is down there getting work in. Bailey has been now even Bailey's going there and like they treat him Bailey like she's God, which kind of makes sense because it's funny where Bailey's kind of like she's over and everybody likes her, but it's kind of like she never gets pushed the way she should, but she doesn't complain about it. It's like she just make the best of it, and like she's just been going to Mexico too and like getting work in. Lola Vice got a lot of reps, like going to Mexico definitely helped her a lot because she got a lot of reps being in Mexico, and it's kind of like you got somebody look like her that speaks the
She's still
language.
the mixed tag team champion with Mr. Iguana too. So I
Yes.
mean she's still Lola Two Belts.
I mean, so it's kind of like having Triple A's basically, and like, and I guess the elephant in the room is all this is being booked by The Undertaker. And the fact that The Undertaker has become this beloved booker where people show up to the shows with signs like, thank you, Senor Taker, for booking this great show. Like, the crowd knows The Undertaker is in charge and they love that The Undertaker is in charge. And I remember the whole argument when WWE brought Triple A is like, they're just going to ruin Triple A. They're going to make it WWE light. He does not book it like Raw or SmackDown at all. Like, it is very specific to that crowd. Like, he know like he's an old school wrestler. He knows what works. He knows what doesn't work, and it's like he just does it.
Yeah, he does not seem to have the corporate oversight that one Paul Levesque has, I would say. Like he seems to be able to run things without a whole lot of interference from TKO. And
Yes.
that helps. That helps when there are not other agendas to be
Yeah,
attended
because I
to.
laugh at this idea like all of a sudden Triple H forgot how to book. I'm like, when you hear stories about we put Pat McAfee in the main event of WrestleMania because we want to make him a star, what is Triple H supposed to do with that? Like, how's that Triple H fault when his boss is like, I want to do this, I want to push this guy, I want like to the fact that Pat McAfee quit wrestling. Because of the backlash from that, like people had to step in, like, no, I don't want, like, Jelly Roll, like, no, I don't want to win. I know how bad that looks. And the people at TKO that basically ran UFC in the ground trying to do the same thing that WWE is like, oh, we're making all this money. If you're not super famous, we're going to give you a pay cut and we're going to tell you to push this and that. And it's like, Triple H can only do so much.
Yeah, that's why I always roll my eyes a little bit at any Triple H criticism
Yeah,
because
it's like he has his weak
it's
spots
at
as
least
anybody. But it's kind of like, if trust me, because if Nick Khan was like, oh, okay, I like what you're doing, Sean, in NXT, but it's time we're gonna build a show around Izzy Dane, make it work. Is that HBK's fault? Like, no. Like Triple H, like HBK
Yeah,
and The Undertaker.
HBK still doesn't even get the
Yeah.
heat. Like, I feel like he still, for the most part, has a little. He has a little more autonomy than Triple
Yeah.
H still too.
I mean, because
Probably
you
less
know,
than The Undertaker, but
I mean, considering that they're moving all the PLEs to CW, CW seems to be very happy with NXT.
Yeah, I would say they are okay with the deal.
And it's wild where it's kind of like people was kind of like, why does CW spend all that money? CW like this, we would have paid double. We know we was gonna get the ratings we were gonna get with NXT. And it's wild where they pivoted from it was this teen network that was mostly watched by old people to basically a sports and old people show. Like it's we show
Oh.
college football, NASCAR, college basketball, wrestling, and we have three shows. And now they make money, and now they get ratings.
Yeah, the transformation of the CW, underrated topic, I feel like, on this podcast, because we have been around for the entire CW era.
It's like we went from, we basically took the bastard children of WB and UPN to we're gonna be this, you know. Supernatural and Smallville show to we gonna be DC Light and the craziest stuff you ever seen. And now it's kind of like if you're a middle-aged man on the couch, you want to watch some ACC football.
Yeah, and I mean, I have turned into my fair share of games on the CW since Pitt is in the ACC.
And
It's
it's
just like,
like
thank you, CW, for the coverage.
some like they found a niche that works. It's kind of like we can spend if we're gonna spend money on stuff that people watch. People watch sports and people watch wrestling. It's like they've always watched sports and they've always watched wrestling. It just works. And say what you want about NXT is like it's never boring. And Triple A and it's
Oh yeah,
yeah.
people. There are definitely a lot of people out right now during this time period. That's, I think I've started jokingly referring to it as NXT 4.0. No one likes the overturn time period at the beginning when there's I mean, a lot of people have been called up to the main roster, and there are definitely a few others that I would not be surprised if they made an exit sooner rather than later.
But that's the thing. It's supposed to be a developmental show. People forget that because one, they get good ratings, and two, they still reminisce about the old days when it was the Adam, like Adam Cole and Samoa Joe. It's like, yeah, it's not the ROH show or PWG show anymore. Where it's like you got these people in their 30s and like, yes, Timothy Thatcher should not be. And developmental. And I know he had a great match, but it's kind of like we watching these people in their 30s putting on these great matches. And it's kind of like, yes, these are great matches, but what is Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa going to be in NXT for 9 years for? Like,
Yeah, that's why I guess it really hasn't been surprising that they've kind of fast tracked the last couple of people to pop in with more than enough experience. You know, Ricky Saints on that list, Blake Monroe on the list. 'Cause yeah, I mean, they're the most recent call ups where it's just like, yeah, we know that you guys didn't really need a lot of time
We're just,
in NXT. We just wanted you guys to test the water, and now you're
get
getting spooled up
acclimated,
here.
figure, smooth out your gimmick, get acclimated to the camera and the WWE style, find out, get an apartment, have a, get a gym membership, and you'll be fine. Cause they were before, like, there's this crowd of people that like NXT when it was ECW or ROH, but that was never what NXT was supposed to be. And I think people needed to like get away from that. Like NXT now is kind of finding a balance where we have veterans, but we have rookies too. And it's kind of like sometimes the veterans need kind of like, a few months to get ready, but they're also there to help the rookies. It's not all rookies and it's not all veterans. Like it's a good balance now. It's just weird because the men's side is finally smoothing out. But it's weird looking at the men's side where it's kind of like you see somebody like Shaquan Sugars and all of these new people from France and Belgium, and then you see Evil.
Yeah, they have a real international flavor going on in NXT with this 4.0 right now.
Yes, it's kind of like it's
'Cause what,
that's
French,
understated.
Spanish?
I think they got somebody from the Netherlands. Who's that? Something Von Duke or what? Like, I
Oh
just see all
yeah,
these.
there's the new English guy. What is, oh, Jiminy Christmas. I'm still not remembering the
Yeah,
names. Who's
because
fighting with Shiloh Hill?
it's so many, and it's got in the new dude Mason Rook, and it's like they have
Oh,
all these new
yep.
different body types from all over the world. It's kind of like, you know what? We're gonna be international. We're gonna get people from everywhere and just throw them in. And it's one thing about it, it's chaotic, but it's entertaining because you have some great matches. You'll have some matches you didn't think you would see. And one thing about it is kind of like it's never dull. And meanwhile, you just got Tony D'Angelo there just smirking with that damn beard. He just looks out like going from the Paisan to kind of Thor Jr. is just so weird.
Yeah, like I'm starting to like the character a little bit more. I'm still not completely sure why they needed it or why it almost in some ways is so close to the Paizon character. Like
You know why? They hate whimsy on the main roster
Oh,
when you're supposed to be
yeah.
serious, so.
That is true. So yeah, he's definitely turned up the serious and to me one of those guys that's probably on the short list now that I feel like he's starting to prove that he can be serious. And he's also another guy that he's like, oh, there's some time off. You know what? I'm gonna throw on like another 10 pounds of muscle. Why not? Like I can do
It's funny how that works.
it. Man, just yeah, like they like gave him whatever it was, 3 or 4 months off, and he's just like, oh, I'm gonna get even more yoked than I was before.
You're getting yoke has never held you back in professional wrestling, unless you got too yoked and you couldn't move. So, but it's, I mean, it's worked. I'm glad the men are finally catching up where like a lot of the younger people are getting a chance. Like the dark state people are becoming more individuals.
Oh, that was one where I had a good laugh that yeah, Dark State did their promo this week, and then there was half the crowd going, "We want Saquon," and the other half doing the, "No, we don't." And I'm like, I kind of understand, like he's another in a long line of WWE people that he wasn't clearly the good guy in the situation.
No, he was. That's the thing about Darkseid, is kind of like, who are some of the cheerful? Because they were all assholes.
Yeah, it like and it's kind of like I think back not that long ago to Bayley when they turned on when Damage Control turned on Bayley. It's like Bayley didn't really do anything to make herself a baby face other than get beat up by the other bad guys. And it's just and Saquon's in the same boat right now. Like, and I
Yeah.
feel bad for him because I think he got kicked out because they want him as a singles wrestler
Like he has
and
the talent and he has something there, but it's like the way they were pushing it, kind of like they were making like they were trying to push like Dion Lennox was being selfish because he wanted to go for the title and was pushing Dark State to the side. And like he had a point with like Saquon had a point with that, but he
Oh,
was just
yeah.
so overbearing, obnoxious with it. It's like, yeah, it don't matter if you're right, if you're an asshole.
Yeah, that is a perfect way to
Yeah,
split
and he
one up.
has charisma, but it takes a certain level of charisma to be an asshole and still get over. And he doesn't have that yet, but he may have that soon. But it's kind of like it'll get there. Like it's just a weird thing where you don't know necessarily know who to root for, but
Yeah.
you enjoy the storyline because the storyline is compelling. The women just do what they do. Like the women continue to be excellent, and this whole. They even after all those women left, they just still have an abundance of women. Like it's insane. It's insane how many women they just still have.
Yeah, that end of things never seems to go away. And I mean, it's even wild where you're like someone like Nikita Lyons who's been back on TV where it's just like she had her setback, but she stuck with it, and now she's getting her chance again. And it's just like,
I'm
you
laughing
know,
at
is
all these
she.
people that get mad, like, oh, you're trying to tell me she's good now? I'm like, yeah. I know it's hard to believe. It's kind of like she got injured twice. Like she blew out her knee twice. Most people don't come back from that. And even though she's young, it's like she came back from it. She slimmed down. She spent a lot of time in Evolve kind of working on her gimmick, figured out what works and what didn't work. They saw it. They put her on NXT, and it's like, yeah, she got – I know she is very overbearing with her character, and I know she has a whole lot of baggage from how they used to book her. But if you just watch her in the ring, like, she is an awesome seller. Like, she is a very good base as far as, like, taking offense. And her offense is also unique because it's kind of like, yeah, she's smaller. She's still like, she can knock you out. Like, somebody that size is throwing spin kicks like it's Tekken is just wow. Because it's like, yeah. She could beat you up.
Yeah, well, there's one thing that she was never going to lose, even if she did drop some poundage. She's still a very tall woman. Like, I don't know what her actual height is, but she is definitely on the tall side.
Yeah, we just didn't think about it because it's like we're used to seeing her in the ring with like Last Legend. She's 5'8". Yeah.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, that's just being in the ring with Last Legend is just unfair.
Yeah, it's like, you know, beside like Izzy Dane, like most of the women in NXT are not 5'8". So she's going to tower over almost everybody else. Like they're 5'1 to 5'5". So, like,
yeah,
especially with Sol Ruka, like, Sol Ruka is not there anymore, and Lash Letter is not there anymore. So, beside, I think maybe Zarya, like, everybody else is kind of like regular size as far as like a woman athletes go. So, you see somebody like Nikita Lyons, like, yes, she is going to like be physically imposing for 95% of people she's in a ring with.
And I agree. Like, I do think that she has definitely taken her time to develop. And it's just, it's one thing to appreciate the people like Sol Ruka, who is just like, oh, yeah, I'll blow out my knee and then, you know, just have a quick ascent to the main roster. Like, that's impressive, but that's not going to happen with most of these people.
Yeah, that's very rare. Like, I think people kind of got spoiled with this whole, oh, why such and such is available for 5, 6 years. I'm like, y'all know how long The Undertaker wrestled before we saw him at WWF? or like Steve Austin or like Bret Hart? It's kind of like, I mean, see, y'all, I've been wrestling for 15 years and I'm finally getting my chance. It's like, yeah, that's normally how it goes, not this whole, I started wrestling at 18. By 22, I was world champ. Like, normally people don't pick up wrestling in like 9 months or like 2 years. But we got spoiled by the NXT women, so we think it's normal when they do it, and we get mad at people who don't. It's like, it don't work out that way, especially if you've gotten injured. And I like how they decide, like, you know what, we're going to use Evolve, not just for new people, but for people that we have. But we don't know what to do with them, but we don't want to fire them. So we're getting work because, like, Wendy Chu got better being Evolved. Carmen Petrovic got better being Evolved. So when they go back to the main, they go back to like NXT, it's kind of like they're back and they're more finished product and they're better off for it compared to, you know, your services are no longer required.
Yeah. It's, yeah, it's one of those things that, yeah, even with the AAA, where they've done a good job of dispersing their talent to try and maximize in-ring time.
Yeah, and I think it's something going on where they want to kind of slow down with the TNA thing. Because they said they're going to pick it up. I think it's like they're going to pick it back up later. It's just more like a timing issue. Because they were using TNA for the same thing, too. Kind of like, you know, getting reps in. But you just see, you know, like between Lola Vice, Izzy Dame, Tatum Paxley, and Kalani Jordan. Oh, and I'd be remiss to not mention Kurt Angle herself, Kendall Gray.
Yeah. Miss Angle is doing quite a job already there.
Yeah. And now the new woman.
She's going to be in that category of how this happened so quickly, and everyone's going to think that should be normal, and it isn't.
But I do want to say it's like it gets obnoxious where it's kind of like, yes, she's great, but the whole thing is like she carrying Kalani Jordan. I'm like, Kalani Jordan was having great matches before Kendall Gray showed up because Kalani Jordan is awesome, and it's like, and so, like, and I think
someone saying that's just silly talk as far as I'm
Yeah, well, they know
concerned.
who they are, so they should be ashamed of themselves. But it's just wild, and then Zarya getting a chance to breathe, where it's like she don't have to worry about Sol Ruk anymore. She don't have to worry about the Jordan Graces and the Julius taking the time, so she just gets to be a monster. And they're doing a better job with moving people from NXT to main roster. All you gotta do is look at, Fatal Influence. I even think they were surprised at how over they would be over on them. I'm like, yeah, people, if you don't change the gimmick when they move and you make them care, they gonna get over. It's like Fatal Influence was over in NXT and they're awesome. And if you treat them like it's a big deal, of course they're gonna like, oh, we knew JC Jane was good. We didn't know she was that good. Like, oh, you put the belt on her twice. How did you know she was that good? She's been that good for a long time. And that whole talk is like, I'm the most fluky. I'm like, stop talking like you Dolph Ziggler.
And thankfully they have gotten away from that. Like, I thought that was stupid from the jump because it felt like one random line that Vic threw out there at some point, because not even very many of the wrestlers themselves had said it, maybe one. And it's just like, oh guys, like, why are we even doing this?
I mean, I get it, because it was like this, because she beat Stephanie Vaquerin, it's kind of like,
Oh.
like her, like it's like the sidekick, and it was always kind of like she was under the shadow of, why can't I think of
Someone.
her name? No,
Well,
her former group.
yeah, it was Mandy
Yeah,
Rose.
Mandy Rose. I always feel like she was like a sidekick for Mandy Rose. So all of a sudden now she's got a bootleg version of that group. I don't know if she's any good. And it's like, yeah, she put the work in and she kind of earned that. And now she's continued to do that SmackDown. And yeah, but all I gotta say
And it
about
helps too on SmackDown, when they invest in your character, always helps. Or I mean the whole group, honestly, is in general, like, they have really run roughshod over the SmackDown roster, unlike anyone has in quite some time. And yeah, it
Since
helps.
damage control, basically. And because like Lainey Reid is like a fast learner, and she has an awesome personality. And Fallon Henley, good Lord, that's all I would say. Like that, what would Jim Ross say? That's a specimen right there. When you're trying to be a pervert but not be a pervert, like she has all the ring skills, she has an awesome personality, and it's like she is just drop dead gorgeous. Like I just be watching, I just be looking, I'm like,
She was in the category of, it wouldn't have surprised me if she had gotten called up earlier. She never has really gotten, because she had a North American Championship reign, didn't she? So yeah, but she's kind of been one where she hasn't quite been in the JC Jane backup category, but they've never pushed. It's been so funny where they kept on teasing Fallon and her having problems, and they never pulled the trigger on it.
No.
And it
Sometimes
will be.
friends fight. That's how they worked it out.
It'll be interesting to see if they ever end up actually going back to that on the main roster at some point, because it does feel like Fallon Henley has enough to at least be a singles wrestler, I will
Oh,
say.
she's got the skills, and she's got the, like, I was laughing when she had a little feud with Tiffany Stratton, and she pretended to be Tiffany Stratton, and she was more Tiffany Stratton than Tiffany Stratton was.
I forget who reposted that within the last month or so, and I had a good chuckle rewatching that, because she did a very good Tiffany Stratton. I would have to say she's probably put up with a Tiffany Stratton or two in her life.
And I'm sure she will put up with more. But speaking of building character, so the main thing I want to talk about was the storylines on Monday Night Raw. And the thing that stood out about like the storylines been up to the pay-per-view and just the storylines in general, like involving the world title, the tag, like the world title, the tag titles, the IC title, and just in general, is that they make sense. And like they are investing a lot of time on like on a human level. Like, perfect example, the whole thing of Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu. You understand exactly where Jacob Fatu is coming from. Like, his whole thing is, I've seen all the work that you've done, Roman Reigns. I appreciate that you gave us all the success, but I want this for myself and my family. I want the big house. I want my kids to go to college. I want the life that you have. And if I gotta run, like, it's nothing personal, but if I gotta run roughshod over all of you, this I wanna do. It is not a malicious way. It's like, I wanna take care of my family. I wanna take care of myself. I wanna be where you at. Like, that is very human nature. Roman's whole thing has always been, you just wanna take care of your family. I'm taking care of everybody's family. The reason why I'm the tribal chief is no one else can hold, like, he's basically kind of like Thanos. Nobody else can hold this burden except for me. And you people are too small minded to understand what needs to be done. And
You cannot do what must be done.
he's always been that way. It's kind of like, I'm not doing this because I want to. I'm doing this because I need to. Like, they chose me because I have to be the pillar to take care of the entire family. And you see how big the family is. Like, you worry about your kids. I got to worry about everybody's kids going to college. This is why I do this, and none of y'all else can carry this burden. And one thing about Roman is he has always been consistent when it comes to that. Like, I'm the boss for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why there's still been a tinge of him being an asshole in this whole feud, you know?
He
Because
is.
yeah, he's like you said, he's like, I'm the only one that can bear this burden. It's just like,
It's
we sure
amazing.
about
He's never
that?
apologized. He's never said he's sorry. He's always been the same. The crowd just decided, like, we forgive you, even though he never asked for forgiveness.
Yeah, he took that leave after losing to Cody Rhodes, and everyone's just like, you know what? You just had a great 3+ year run, or whatever it was, is the champion. We kind of get it. And yeah, he came back and he's been cheered ever since.
And then you have those, so you have the different viewpoints with those. It's kind of like, he's looking at Jacob Fatu like, this man's a maniac. Like, you need to fire him because he's not following the rules. I'm trying to protect the brand. And Jacob was like, stop being a coward. And meanwhile, the Usos are there kind of being like the bear because they have a perfect, viewpoint because they've been on both sides. They've been in Jacob's shoes, they've been in Roman's shoes. Jay is like, you need to cut this out because he hands on sight. Jimmy is trying to be like the peacemaker. We trying to do this as a family. Let's work it out. And I understand where you're coming from, but you don't understand what Roman's going through. And then LA Knight is here, kind of like, Roman being an asshole, right? Like, he acting like he used to act. And his whole thing is, I like you, Jimmy. I don't really have a problem with Jay, even though he a hothead. It's Roman I got the problem with. And it's because Roman's an asshole, and you family, y'all don't see it. And they all are right. And that's what I love about it. Kind of like, you can see everybody's point of view, and it all makes sense and all fits. Like, it's a lot of nuance going involved that's built because it's kind of like, yeah, LA Knight, right? Like, Roman is an asshole, and Roman is kind of selfish, but like they saying, it's like this family business. And it's kind of like you seeing family business in LA Knight is kind of like the viewpoint from the audience.
Yeah, and I mean, because he's been screwed over by the family in his fairly recent past, it, like you said, like it takes a lot of storytelling to get to the gray area that the WWE loves.
Yes.
And it's just hard to invest that much time in that many characters consistently.
And it helped that they spent a long time. People like that one thing about the Bloodline storyline lasted for 4 years. It's kind of like by this point now, exactly everyone's mindset. So you don't have to remind people over and over again. You know why Roman is the way he is. You know why the brothers are like they're twins, but they aren't the same. They move
Oh yeah,
different.
they have really gotten rid of them being twins in a good way.
Yeah, like they have different viewpoints, like that sometimes they're on the same page and sometimes they're not. They basically step like, yo, Jimmy's kind of like the reasonable one. They try to smooth things out and the charismatic. And Jay is like the fiery hothead. You don't know. Because Jay's whole thing is his hands on sight. Like, like no matter who it is,
Yeah,
like, no
if
time
you
to
piss
talk.
me off, yeah, I'm just gonna clock you.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, involving like the Vision of Seth Rollins and the Street Profits. I love that story because the Street Profits is like, just because you think you're a hero now don't mean we're gonna trust you. Like we know how you used to move. Like it's basically kind of like it's they doing the whole Kevin Owens like, yes, we watch TV. We know what you, we know how you move Seth Rollins, and now you're trying to be a hero and trying to drag us into tomorrow. We gotta do this together. And Angelo Jalkins is like, maybe you're right. And Montez Ford is like, no. You're not, like, you are not right. Like, stop getting us in. Like, we might have beef with them, but we got beef with you too, because you're responsible for this. And Seth is like, you're going to go out here, you're going to get jumped, just like I got you get jumped. And they all make sense, but it's kind of like, I can see where the Street Profits are coming from, because, like, why would you trust Seth Rollins?
Oh yeah, like who has turned and then turned back and then turned again.
Yeah, they treat that shield turn like an original sin from the Bible. Like, good Lord, like that's one thing, like they will never let that go.
that thing has been referenced more than any other event, I feel like, in WWE history, just given Seth Rollins' track record now in the WWE. Is just probably longer than anyone else's for that
Like
type of
it.
big turn.
People point like Roman Reigns is basically the way he is because of that. Like you made that, like that whole thing is like you made the monster that's Roman Reigns because he used to be a trust, he used to be a trusting person till you stabbed him in the back and he's been hating the world ever since. And that's your fault. And it's funny it gets to the point where the Street Profits were coming, they would save Seth and get jumped by Bron Breakker. Seth would try to help them get jumped by Bron Breakker. They don't help each other get jumped by Bron Breakker. And it got to the point now where it's like Montez and Seth Rollins kind of working together reluctantly because Angelo Dawkins got hurt because Angelo was trying to get them to work together. And then he's the one that took the bullet. And meanwhile, the Vision's kind of like, we're going to Austin Theory. I'm going to get revenge for everybody that hurt my friend. Like Logan Paul got hurt by accident.
Wrestling, there are so many wrestling injuries that are just like you never would have thunk it injuries. Like Bronson Reed, honestly, was another one where like he barely touched a guy and what, tore a pec,
Yes, it's
I think.
boy.
And I did not think anything of that Logan Paul bump, but you could see it immediately that he's just like, oh, like, and you see it in all athletes that get injured. I mainly think about NFL games just because I feel like those injuries tend to be a little more gruesome. But you can just see it in the person's face when there's a legit injury. And oh boy, you kind of it was a good thing that match was basically over
And just
because Logan Paul would not have been useful after that.
because you just saw it, it's like they don't seem that bad. Like, oh, blown tricep. I remember one time I was like, but Batista blew a tore a tricep a pet like while jogging. And it's kind of like you make fun of that, but we both work out athletes, like it don't take that much. Like, I spend most of my time now a lot of time stretching and warming up more than I ever have. Not because I'm old, but it's kind of like I see what a fluke injury can do. And I'm at the point now where it's kind of like I don't want to take any chances where I'm out 4 to 5 months because I ain't warm up and I blew out an Achilles tendon. No, I'm a pharmacist. Like I'm not stupid that's gonna sell. Like, no.
I have yet to have someone come into the office like, yeah, man, I blew out my Achilles, running the bases over the
Guess what?
weekend.
I have a dear friend in my group chat that injured his Achilles. and it was a long recovery, and it was something simple. And he's around the same age as we are. And it's kind of like, I will not mention his name, but it's like, yeah, that probably put the fear of God in me, because it's I remember being in pharmacy school and somebody showed up in class, like, oh, I was just out here playing soccer, I tore my ACL. So for 6 months he's going to school in crutches. We're in pharmacy school. And you try to study, become a pharmacist, and you gotta rehab an ACL. Like, we had, like, school should be a non-contact endeavor. So I can imagine how it is in pro wrestling, where it's like, oh, somebody landed wrong off the apron, they broke their ankle. Or somebody, like, took a suplex wrong and dislocated a shoulder. Or like when Randy Orton used to do the, you know, I'm gonna do the
RKO the pound on the
and
mat.
Pound, and I blew my shoulder out, so I don't do that anymore. And it's like, yeah, don't. And meanwhile, Javon Evans, well, he made out of Play-Doh. So never know.
Yeah, between him and Darby Allin, just a human Gumby, evidently.
Yes. And speaking of, I brought up Javon Evans because, like, Penta with the IC title. They made the IC title important. Like, Penta was like, I'm going to do everything to defend the title and make this title important. I'm taking all challenges. Javon Evans is kind of getting out of character because, like, you know, I ain't mean to act like this, but I want that belt. Like, because he used to be Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky Man. It's like, he did that little, he did the Penta walk and they drop kicked him in the face.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier with, Tony D, you know, you need to have that serious side. And Javon didn't need to do it down in NXT, but they have turned it on pretty quickly on the main roster here.
And his whole thing is like, I didn't mean to be out of character, but that IC title is important. Like, he wants that belt. Rusev wants that belt. He giving Ray a shot. Like, and meanwhile, that match with Penta Ethan Page was an awesome match. I did not know Ethan Page had I knew he was a good wrestler. I know he had it in him like that. So I'm watching this. I'm like, this is a low-key amazing match that they're having.
Yeah, he's been a gentleman that has been on the radar for quite some time since he was in up north, Absolute Intense Wrestling. So Ethan Page has been a known party around these parts for quite some time.
And
it's wild where he's gotten to. I mean, he's another guy where, yeah, he put in a lot of years to get better, and he just continued to get better, and he is where he is now because the man has just continued to improve.
Yes, he is definitely built for like WWE main event, you know, chicanery, because he is just a perfect, like, he is just easy to boo, and he has a ring skill that just kind of works. Like, he's that whole thing, like, he can wrestle with anybody and have a good match. Like, he can match his style with whoever he's wrestled to, and that is a valuable, like, being a good dance partner will take you places. And he has that, he had, like, that fucking mustache and just that smirk and his music, like, I need to win the IC title so I could become the greatest IC title of all time, called the Ethan Intercontinental title. I'm like, it's just so obnoxious and absurd.
Yeah, because there are some people that I start to roll my eyes recently just because, like, everyone claims, like, you know, they win a title and they're like, I'm the greatest ever. And it's just like, oh my gosh. But him adding in, like, renaming the title just the Ethan Page title, yes, because that's how great he is, I'm like, that at least gives it a little bit of a twist that makes it far more entertaining in my eyes than, yes, just kind of going with the standard, I'm the greatest ever after, you know, yeah, one.
Was it Jackie Redmond at Kathy Keller interview? Like, is this the greatest interview you ever had? Because it's with me. And they're just rolling their eyes. And it's just kind of like, it is so over the top and obnoxious that's supposed to be. And it just works because, yeah, that North American title run he had in NXT was awesome because I hated every time he won. And I was so damn happy when he lost. In a good way, like, I'm glad somebody beat him because he was just, ugh. Turn a channel off, but, like, I got mad when he won, and that's the point of watching the hill.
Yeah, he is one of the few people that has managed to stay hateable from NXT onto the main roster now. Like, that character is so, like you said, obnoxious. Like, there isn't a better way to put it. Like, and even Michael Cole's another one, like, just nailing home the obnoxiousness of his gimmick, of Paige's gimmick. It's just like, yep, when you have Michael Cole in your corner, that's going to help out, but he's also doing it on the mic and in the ring, like you said, so.
Look, that will take him places. When you got the ring, when you have the mic skills and it complements the ring skills, and you wrestle a relatively safe style, the sky's the limit. So just like the sky's the limit for Obafemi. I know a lot of people are mad that, Brock Lesnar came back. Well, first of all, him coming back does not ruin that WrestleMania match, because that WrestleMania match was still awesome, unexpected. I was surprised that he came back, to be honest, because it came out of nowhere. And I like how Brock, and I like Brock was like, I mean, yeah, you won. I was impressed, but then I woke up and said, fuck that.
I did not mind. Like, he did not need to have a great reason to come back. And just like, no, I'm still a badass. And you know what? I've lost before. I took my lumps. Let's get back at it like we have before. Yeah, perfectly acceptable line of thinking from Mr. Lesnar.
Yeah, like, I've come back from a loss. Can you come back from a loss? And see, I don't know how they play this, because I wonder if he just gonna beat him, if Owens is gonna beat him again.
That is going to be the interesting one, because that's the one thing that made Brock retiring make sense, because it's just like, who else is this guy really going to put over?
Yeah, because I remember, like, when he feuded with Goldberg, Goldberg just kept beating him until Brock finally got his win back. But I was like, yeah, Goldberg won, and then Goldberg won again. So it was like they
Yeah,
might
so
just
it's not
have.
out of the question that Oba ends up winning round two either.
Although it being in Italy, yeah, I don't know about the paisans over there.
Yeah, those paisans have
Yeah.
questionable taste, especially in ethnicities. Not
Yeah,
to slander some
I know
predecessors.
Brock is, yes, I know Brock is a beloved character in certain spots. And I was just thinking about, yeah, we haven't been in Europe in a while, and those crowds tend to do what they want depending on what city it is. And I'm just thinking, like, they might do the Obafemi dance and, like, be down with Obafemi, or they may start whistling at him. And not in a good way. So it's always
Yeah,
something. It's
Turin's been an interesting choice. It's one that I have brought up a couple of times, because I'm thinking it's maybe like the fifth most important city in Italy. So it's one of those, oh well, this is kind of interesting. This is the choice to go with here
I'm interested in seeing the
for
match.
PLE.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing the match, because I'm, just to see, because if I figure if Brock wins, then they have the rubber match at SummerSlam. But if Oba wins, they might have the rubber match at SummerSlam. Might like, be, if you can beat me three, if you can beat me three times in a row, then I'm really tired. Because I remember, like,
Oh.
Triple H lost to Batista three times in a row to put him over. And I remember Stump Granny making the fun to all, yeah, you beat me, but you never kicked out the pedigree. And I remember Eric just having a hissy fit over that. Like, they treat a pedigree like it was a kryptonite bullet. I will never forget that, because he was incensed. Like, what are we talking about?
I'll need to dig into the archives for that one.
Yeah, because he basically did a triple, like, yeah, you beat me, but you never kicked out of the pedigree. We gotta see. And yes, he was less than pleased that that was what they were going with the storyline. But his precedence to somebody, like, put somebody over, and Brock has always been about business.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just curious to see how that goes, because it's like, yeah, he at the same time, that's the same man that beat Cody Rhodes and John Cena for shits and giggles.
Oh, yeah, because you can do things like that with Brock Lesnar. Like,
Yeah. I get the Cody Rhodes thing because Cody Rhodes ended up eventually getting that win. It was kind of like to show Cody Rhodes could kind of hang with the big dog. The John Cena one is always funny because I was like, who for what?
Yeah, because that was the first real Suplex City match, was it not?
Now I'm talking about during his retirement tour.
Oh, the retirement tour one.
Yeah,
Okay,
that one, it was kind of like, why? I remember I was saying, like, nobody asked for that, and they're not having a rematch, so, like, John Cena need to put Brock over Noel out the door, that young whippersnapper.
Yeah, neither of them really needed to put anyone over, but yeah, it's always weird to have John Cena lose on his retirement tour.
Yeah, but speaking of somebody, need to get put over in a weird way, the Sol Ruka Becky Lynch thing is just wild because it's kind of like they've been stalling.
Oh.
Like they want to put Sol over, but they didn't want to do it too soon. So it's like we're gonna have her lose in good matches and then have Becky Lynch make fun of her. Then you have a Saturday night main event match. It's non-title. Then it's for the title. And then it's non-title again. As Becky is like, how's she getting a title shot? She ain't beat nobody on the main roster yet. And it's like, it made sense. Then they have the match. And it's like, we don't want to finish. So we just throw some bullshit together that nobody likes. And I'm like, y'all could have saved
Yeah.
this for the pay-per-view. Like, y'all did not have to be on Saturday night main event if that was going to be the match.
Yeah, that definitely could have been on a yeah, they're on Raw typically,
Yeah,
yeah.
that could have been on, like I said, that could have been an email, that could have been on Raw.
Yeah. That did not necessarily need to be on Saturday night's main event. Not that it took up a whole lot of time, considering it was like 4 minutes or something like that. Probably more time in entrances than actual action.
It's weird because they know they had some of Sol Ruka. She's obviously talented. And it's kind of like, I assume she's going to beat Becky for the IC title because they're not going to have Sol just be up there and just lose her first three matches after making a big deal.
Yeah, that would be the wildest call in this situation, you know, because it's just like, okay, I can see where the light is at the end of this tunnel, because there were a couple other people that I already mentioned, like Ricky Saints, where I'm like, he's had a couple of losses on the main roster, and I'm like, I don't see where his win's coming back. At least with Sol
I
Ruka, you're
mean,
like, this should be a win over Becky Lynch
yeah.
because
When
it's an IC title and we can work with that.
you're a heel is not as bad, especially if you're charismatic. Like the one thing is funny about being a heel is if you're charismatic enough, wins and losses don't matter. Like The Rock used to lose all the time, and it got to a point where it did not matter. Like sometimes it matters, like a lot of times it does matter, but sometimes if you just in certain position, it don't matter.
Yeah, and Becky Lynch is definitely in that category.
Yeah, and it's.
She can eat a loss here and there, because we know that she'll get a win back too at some juncture.
But it just feels weird because they basically doing the same thing they would did with Maxxine Dupri. And it's kind of like they did it with that, then got cold feet, and then they don't know what to do. They was going to put Maxxine with Division till Logan Paul got hurt. So now they want us to pretend like that didn't happen. It's like, we was watching him, we was watching him, her get in the truck and leave at Raw. Just because you wasn't mentioning anything, and it's kind of like, so now you got Sol Ruka there, and it's like they obviously see something with her, but it's kind of like I guess they was kind of like we just want to stall because we don't know when to do this, and we don't want like a backlash. But it's weird where Raw is better everywhere except for the women, because it's like Liv Morgan has nothing to do.
Except for cheer on her stablemates.
Yeah,
Or
because like,
side eye her stable mates,
yeah,
wh whatever her mood happens to be at that time.
Cause Stephanie Vaquer's hurt and they don't have, I guess nobody else wants to challenge her for the title, is how that works.
Yeah, it's still been the detriment of the women's division that yeah, Becky Lynch still takes up too much bandwidth with the IC title.
I mean, at least she's fighting people. Like, I don't blame, like, at least she's like have challengers.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm not really it's weird. I don't want to blame her because she's obviously not the one setting the show up, But for whatever reason, the WWE itself has just not done a good job, because they weren't doing a great job with Stephanie Vaquera's champion either, in the same situation, because AJ Lee and Becky Lynch was, again, just chewing up a whole bunch of time. It's just like, huh?
They treated her like a placeholder. It was basically like
Yeah.
Stephanie got the belt because she got over so fast and Naomi was pregnant. And
Oh.
Liv was hurt. So, and meanwhile, Rhea and Io was this, we're just friends. Like, yeah, they was doing whatever they was doing. Like, yeah, one of the detriments of putting all the women together, tag teams, like you wake up one day, you realize like you don't have any single challenges anymore. So,
And that does not help either. With as many women as they have called up, they could probably call up more if they really want to have more singles challengers.
but they're
And
all tag
what?
teams.
Yeah, 'cause did Io already have a match with Liv?
I mean,
Is she the
it's
only
like,
one that really is out there, I feel
I
like,
mean,
that
because she,
is
because like once she settled
that
stuff with Asuka,
caliber?
yeah, she settled the stuff with Asuka, so it's just like she has nothing to do, and they would have a great match. I figured like the whole Asuka thing was just weird because like she just like, you know what, I'm not retiring, but I ain't wrestling. And they ain't firing me, so I'm just gonna be I'll be playing video games, getting my check, mind your business.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the stranger exits when not that I pay that much attention to the dirt sheets, but when no one gets wind of this, and they just had the ending that they had at that, because that was the PLE, wasn't it? Where her and Io started hugging, I'm like, what the hell is going on
And
here?
it's like, is she
This feels,
retiring?
yeah,
Is
this
she
feels like
like,
a retirement.
no, I ain't retiring, but I ain't wrestling no time soon. You'll see me when you see me. Like the Undertaker, like we got to the point with the Undertaker, like you'll see me at WrestleMania, and then you'll see me next year at WrestleMania. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, he worked a really light schedule those last couple of years.
You get to a certain point. That's what PT. That's what PTO is for.
Yeah, not putting any blame on him, and Asuka definitely in that category. You can talk her into being a contender or throwing her in just about any women's storyline whenever she does decide to come back.
I think it'll take us time to realize how influential she is because considering the fact that when she showed up, we hadn't really had Japanese wrestlers in WWE, so what, the late 80s? The Jumping Bomb Angels?
Oh,
Like, and the fact that
wow.
you had a Japanese wrestler who didn't really speak English that much that was already in her 30s, and it's kind of like, this is going to be our crown jewel for NXT. And now it's, we don't have a Io Sky, we don't have a Julia, we don't have a lot of, like, we don't have a Stephanie Vaca, we don't have a lot of international wrestlers without, Asuka. Like, they treated Asuka like a big deal. And there's argument made, like, I don't do the whole Mount Rushmore things. As far as most influential women wrestlers in WWE, there's an argument made that she is up there. As far as like resume and impact that she had and how they look at women's wrestling, it is like, yeah, she is just as big a deal as the horsewomen and just as big a deal like anybody else you mentioned. It's kind of like the fact that she basically earned that status, kind of like, we ain't firing her, she can do what she want and nobody gonna say nothing. It's just like she earned it, but it's just weird to the fact that it's like they acknowledged her that
So
she earned
rarely
that.
happens. Yeah, so rarely happens. And again, to go back to Michael Cole, he's like, yeah, she's just taken off. He's like, I've got no more information than you do.
And it's wild considering like
She's going back
Kyrie,
to
yeah.
Japan.
And meanwhile,
Okay.
like, yeah, and it's wild because it's like you saw what happened with Kyrie, and it's like people's rightfully pissed because it's kind of like she left during COVID, come back with her family. They asked her to come back, she come back, and then they want to be all cheap with the money. And it's like she didn't have to come back at all. And it was like the fact that she came back and y'all could have pushed her and y'all decided to half-ass push her and then y'all do her dirt, like along with that, the New Day is like, that was, I wasn't sure with you, like, releases happen all the time in wrestling, and it's kind of like, you know, it is what it is. That New Day one, but I'm like, that was just tacky.
Yeah, it's one where in a lot of ways I'm not sure what you do with those two.
I mean, let them do what they want till they retire at that point. Because it's kind of like, I know it's a money thing. Like, how much money, like this whole TKO thing is like, we brag about how much money we making, but we gonna penny pinch. And it's like,
Yeah.
y'all make too much money to be doing that. And it's not like y'all paying people like baseball salaries.
Yeah, it does make me like Tony Khan a little bit more in management style. Not having the penny pinching, I appreciate it. When you're good springing for actual music instead of the schlock that we get in the WWE more times than not. Yeah, kind of like that style a little bit more.
And it's wild when they first took over, they were spending more money and they were doing well, making more money. Then they saw like, oh, well, we was doing that. What if we did less? And it's kind of, you can't be charging all this money for tickets and then be claiming, crying for poverty. And then the whole thing, well, we're paying them less because we're not doing house shows. And then you bring back house shows. So what argument do you have now? Like, it's just, and it's kind of like, you can make that argument talking about it's trying to be good business until you watch UFC and see what a shell that is, because they did the same damn thing to the point where it's like, I get Paramount Plus for free. And half the time, I don't even care if UFC is on. Like, I watch, I'm like, I don't know any of these people. I don't care about any of these people. Dana White's an asshole, and I don't like the UFC fan base as it is. Like, it's just a nasty, toxic ass fan base. And then I watched it on Netflix, and it's like, it was fun. Was the fights competitive? Not really, but were they enjoyable to watch? Yes, I had fun watching. I didn't have a dirty taste in my mouth compared to when I watched. All they complain about, they need a job. They can all flip burgers. I'm like, just shut the hell up. Like, it's just.
They only fight once every 3 months or something. It's like
And then,
it's one of those, that's part of the job, like that's part of the job description here, guys. Like, I don't understand what you don't understand here. Like, it's built into what they do for a living.
And then your hands and knees begging Conor McGregor to come back. They announced that during the Netflix fight, and I was just like, of course they did. And Jay's asking John Jones, like, you can come back, like, no, I make enough money outside business, and plus I have arthritis. I'm good.
Oh, well, plus, I mean, first thing out of his mouth, I still have a UFC deal, guys. Like, I can't get out of it. Like,
Yeah, Dana ain't letting me out with that anytime soon. And I'm hoping.
Dana, we all know that Dana White is too vindictive to let that one just slide. So yeah, it's not happening. He basically said it's not happening, guys. So the moment that he said that, I'm like, I'm just muting the rest of this because I don't need to hear the rest of this stuff that is
And
essentially lying.
I mean, he is. I know we like we have a lot of WWE wrestlers that's in their 40s that's thriving, but we don't have a lot of combat sport in your 40s. Like, contrary to what Rocky Balboa showed us, seems to be a tricky thing. Like, everybody's not George Foreman, and George Foreman is the exception. Like,
Yeah, I think that kind of showed in those fights too, because it was just like, oh, these are all the people that haven't fought in the UFC in like 10 years, and they were great stars when they were in the UFC 10 years ago, but they're fighting again now, and it's just like, ooh, 10 years has not treated these people well.
and I'm just laughing. Yeah, like I was watching, was it Nick Diaz, Nate Diaz? I'm just watching. It's like, this looks uncomfortable.
Yeah, both that one and even the Rousey fight, it's just like, yeah, you're starting to see where age really matters here,
I
people.
mean, I was laughing at people surprised, like, if I be, I'm like, yeah, Ronda Rousey may not fought in 10 years, but she fought a lot sooner than Gina Carano did. what was it, like 15 years, 16 years since Gina Carano fought? I'm like,
17, I believe.
17 years?
17, I believe, is
What?
what the number was.
I'm like, what did people think was going to happen? Like, you.
That probably would have happened in their primes just
Yes.
because Rousey was always the better fighter.
Yeah, like Gina Carano was, it's basically kind of compared like George Mikan and like Shaq. And no offense, like no offense to like Gina Carano was good for her era. She wasn't as good as Cyborg, but I was like, there's levels to it. And Ronda
Yeah.
Rousey was like an Olympic judo, like she won a bronze in judo in the Olympics. The real Olympics, like that is a thing. And I was just kind of like, you know, and Gina was like, you know, she lost like 100 pounds. First, I'm trying to say, like, okay, it must have been something off camera because that's a lot of weight for a woman. Like, I've lost a lot of weight, but I ain't lose 100 pounds. And I look a lot different losing the weight I lost. And I'm like, and I'm a lot bigger than Gina Carano. Like, I went from 265, like 197. I could imagine how I look if I lost another 30 pounds. I would look like I was on crack because my so, but
Ozempic does the body good,
yeah,
evidently.
push-ups and not eating. But it's just, but the whole thing is kind of like she hadn't fought in 17 years, and then even in her prime, she wasn't on Ronda Rousey's level. And it was just kind of like, yeah, I kind of knew where that fight was going to go when it went, because it's an age thing, a skill thing, and a rust thing. And it's like, Ronda's like, I just didn't want to hurt her too much. And I was like, yeah, and Ronda had a point,
Yeah,
because, you know,
that's still kind of insulting if you're if you're Carano, where it's just like, hey, I knew I was gonna kick your ass, but
yeah.
I also knew we were gonna get us a payday, so why not?
Look, we saw when Rocky fought Mason the Lion Dixon. He was like, same thing. Let's move around. Don't make me hurt you, old man, because I respect you. And Ronda basically had the same energy. Like, look, old timer, you had your time, and I don't want to beat you up in front of the cameras. Let me just tap you out. We shake hands. And it's very condescending and arrogant as hell, but it's like, it's also accurate. So.
And I feel like there was a similar-ish, although not quite as wide, age gap in the Diaz. What was his name? He went to the bare knuckle fighting. But anywho, it was like, someone in their late 30s to someone in their early 40s, and it's just like, yep, I think life starts to get a little bit harder around that time period.
Yeah, I think people tend to like forget, like kung fu movies are the exception where the old man in his 70s had more skill than the people you find in the 20s. And but
Oh,
also it's also kind of weird for me to talk about this because I'm closer to 50 than I am to 40, but I'm in better shape in my 40s than I was in my 20s. And I'm not even taking no peptides or nothing because it's kind of like I can make fun of, you know, when you old stuff slow down. And I run 5 and 10 Ks with no problems these days. So I kind of sound like a hypocrite saying, you know, you can't do what you did in your 20s, your 40s. And meanwhile, I'm like, I'm doing more, but I'm also the exception, not the rule. And I'm also not fighting in an octagon or punching somebody.
You are again, to go back to not too fine of a point, you are pushing pills for a living and do not need any of this nonsense
Yes,
necessarily.
I'm pushing them. I'm not taking them, and I also know my limits. But just to go to show, to kind of wrap it up, it's kind of like it's WWE is this weird transition phase because it's kind of like it's doing well, but at the same time, it's a lot of smoke surrounding. Like, because they're still doing that lawsuit stuff with you know, Janice Grant and like Vince and everybody else, and like that is still happening behind the scenes, and the fact that you just got.
We got a reminder this week. There was some site, some censure involved in that case. I think Nick Khan said something about it.
Yeah, people like, oh, they had
It's
these
like, oh,
programs
yeah,
that
that
all,
still exists.
yeah, it's programmed that all the deleted emails that they weren't supposed to delete, and And it's kind of like, and also you can't, it's hard to say you can't think about that when you got Brock Lesnar front and center in your company.
Yeah, he definitely played a large role in that. There are not a whole lot of people on that roster that were there during that era
Yeah, but
now.
it's kind of like, they are making money, they're doing well, but it's kind of like they're being cheap when they don't need to be. And also, like, the injury bug has just been biting them in the ass.
Yeah, and it's always so wild about wrestling where, for whatever reason, especially since it's just ridiculous how long this podcast has been going, but we've seen enough cycles where, for whatever reason, no one can stay hot for a really long time period. Like 3, 4 years is like the length of like a really good run.
And that's
And
normal.
yeah, and the WWE is in that, like you said, like they're in this phase where I don't think things are terrible. Are they as good as they were, a year ago? No,
No.
but also I at least have enough hindsight of history where it's just like, okay, like I'll definitely take this over some of the bad eras that I've sat through
They aren't as
too.
good as they were during, it's funny, like during the pandemic, Thunderdome, post Thunderdome era, like they clearly not as good as they were, like even like I want to say 2023, but they a lot better than they were like 2018, 2019. Like people tend to forget how bad it was before COVID happened. Like that shit was horrible.
Oh,
Like
yeah,
it was,
not good.
and it had been horrible for like a while too. So it's kind of like, as much as people complain, ain't with no Obafemi's around. It wasn't no trick. Like the fact I could turn on there and it's like, oh, you can say Cody Rhodes is stale, but I see Trick Williams and Obafemi on my TV and it's like, ain't nothing stale about that. Ain't nothing stale about them. I see like Jade Cargo walking around like a fucking X-Man and it's like, yeah, I didn't see that 2018 and I didn't see that 2017. It's kind of like they have, and it's like you see the future. The future is definitely bright.
Yeah, Jade Cargill, partial inspiration for the beer, Beltane beer, that can be
As
talked
it
about
should
later
be,
here.
yes. Her, me, Chin, and B-Fab is coming out there. Yes, I see. Of course, you're gonna be in Indiana. You do the Michael Jackson, tribute. Cause that's the perfect spot, and they definitely do the assignment. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, they did.
I guess we can end up a little. We can finish with AEW, cause I've kind of dipped my toe to watch AEW, cause a lot of time I'm at work. And I will say, I am very intrigued by the Will Ospreay Death Rider storyline because it feels like it's rooted in real life. Like, you can't keep wrestling this style. You've been wrestling Will, so we're going to show you how to really wrestle. And only Jon Moxley can pull this off because it's kind of like he just had this character where he's not a babyface or heel, he's just him. Like,
Yeah, he's kind of gotten to that the gray spot that is hard to get to, and I feel like there were some growing pains with the Death Riders as a whole, but he has definitely outgrown it, at least personally. The rest of his group, oh boy, I'm not going to get into that. But
but
John Moxley himself, yeah, he. The man still cuts great promos. He has great matches. Just the whole death part of his matches is gets a little old for myself personally.
some people like it's like Ric Flair, you can't help yourself. Gotta get that razor blade out, otherwise your hands start shaking. It's like the Green Goblin mask. Calling you, call you a coward. Yeah. So that's, and it's wild where it's kind of like you bring on here, like, you want to show how we really gonna wrestle? Like, we're the ring. You ain't gonna worry about that. We gonna worry about that now. I'm gonna make a joke about you, the Wiggler. Like, we gonna basically how to teach you how to wrestle so you can last a long time if you man up to do it. And I think what throw people off was the whole thing. They assumed that the Death Rider was gonna turn on Jon Moxley and they never did. And Jon Moxley, like, that's that old school wrestling storyline. Like, no, we not doing that. Like we had a different opinion, but we still friends at the end of the day. And I think that kind of threw people off because they was kind of like, where's the turn come from? Because they thought John Moxley was getting soft, and it was like, no, he just matured, and they respect him enough that they went with it, and it just helped with Marina Shafir kind of glaring at everybody like, you ain't gonna, I will choke you out when you think about you turn on my boss.
Yeah, I do love Marina Shafir as the sentinel of the Death Riders, because she definitely seems to be the second most important person in that group.
Yeah, and then Will Ospreay's actually changing his style. Like, I'm gonna win it with submission move. I'm gonna use
Yeah.
mat work.
I kind of called into question his first match after his Death Rider change, but they have done a decent job here over the last 2 weeks, I think, since then, of starting to slowly change his style to something that's more mat based, and it's just like good, you know, like even Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, however, whatever name you want to use for him. The man knew after the neck injury, like, I've got to change how I do stuff. And even though he did a lot of the same stuff, A, he changed it enough to not impact his neck as much.
Yeah, like you don't be the type of person where it's like, we can't have some, we can't have our commentators a certain spot because they can't fly on a plane. It's kind of like you don't want to age that way. And it's kind of like a lot of wrestlers kind of like they talk about they don't want to age that way. They end up doing stuff so they age that way. It's like I can't imagine you can't have half your commentary team because it's like, yeah, they got bad necks, they can't fly. So 1 week Taz is there, and then 1 week Bryan Danielson there, but they won't be both be there at the same time because like my neck acting up. And then who shows up? Mick Foley. If a cautionary tale about what the heck, I'm glad he's in good health or better health now than before. But he always walk around like, I made a lot of money, but
Oof.
don't do what I do to get it. It ain't worth it.
Yeah, we saw that up close and personal WrestleMania weekend at his karaoke party, and yeah, he's definitely improved, but that's still a rough watch. You can definitely tell that the man took a few too many bumps in his day.
I mean, he knew it, and he tried to retire, and they wouldn't let him retire. So, and it's kind of like, and everybody's kind of like, don't be like him, don't be like Dynamite Kid. It won't end well, and people did it, and it's like, y'all know how, it wasn't that long ago, like, the dude from that used to do headbutts, how that ended with him and his family, and y'all still kind of doing like, it didn't end well for the Dynamite Kid. It didn't end well for the dude that emulated the Dynamite Kid. So why y'all still, and it didn't end well for Harley Race either. So why y'all doing this? Like every time I see Chad Gable do, I'm like, dummy.
Stop
Like, stop it. Like, history has shown this don't
it.
end well for anybody who it's kind of like, I call it the monkey paw move. Like, it don't end well. For anybody that's done that, and it's like people, yeah, I know I'm gonna be different, and then they do it anyway. It's like, yeah, did y'all forget Bryan Danielson and wrestled for like 8 years? We just kind of brush that off. I'm like, maybe because we don't remember, because oh, well, Edge came back, so anybody can come back. Paige is back, and like every time I see Paige, I always wonder, like, I know they cleared her, but I was kind of, I'll be watching the ring, and I'm like, y'all sure? Because she kind of wrestled like, I don't know, like I find a hard time watching her wrestle because I always worry about her health-wise.
Yeah, that, and that's just it's still been a weird duo. Like, it's one of those ones where I know in real life that they're friends. For whatever reason, I do not feel like it comes across on TV.
Yeah, she like she
You
just
know,
stole
like,
somebody's spot.
yeah, it's like, as much as I like Paige and I'm happy that she's back, it's just like this is supposed to be the Bella Twins, memorial tour. No, that's
Might as
terrible.
well be. Yeah. That's how people are treating it. And it's this feel I keep feel like when Nikki Bella gonna come back, they're gonna turn on her. Because yeah, one thing about the Bros, like, they're good baby faces, but they are better heels because they can be very unlikable when they want to be. And people, and as many fans they have, there's a lot of people that like disliking them. So, and it's just weird because it's kind of like,
They definitely have a Bella army, but it's funny that the Bella anti-army is maybe a little bit bigger. Like it's kind of like a 60-40 split kind of situation. Because I don't know how many times I've seen a Brie Mode t-shirt attending a professional wrestling event, but it's a lot.
I bought one when I went to WrestleMania, and I bought it as a joke, but it was a cool shirt. And I remember, and I also think a lot of those anti-Bella people kind of aged out because they was around when we were like going to WrestleMania. So, and I think a lot of them kind of like it feel kind of silly if you like 53 years old hating on Brie Bella, because it's kind of like you need to worry about your prostate at this point. If you still have it, I don't have mine, so I don't gotta worry about it anymore. But it's like you hit a certain age, you better worry about your cholesterol level than hating on Brie Mode and work rate. But having said that, when I watch Paige wrestle, I also remember like she's from an era before the whole Divas Revolution thing, and it's kind of like because she was out for a long time, she didn't have a chance to keep up. And it is very noticeable when she in a ring, it's like she is
Ooh,
holding her own as much as she can, but you can tell it's kind of like, it's a struggle to be
Well,
nice.
and she didn't even when she was in AEW, she had maybe a handful of matches. And to your point, like a handful of matches is not going to allow you to keep up,
Yes.
especially with. It's one thing in AEW, but we've talked about it many times over the last few years. The athleticism of the women in the WWE in particular has just gotten to kind of ridiculous point a point at this
Yeah,
juncture.
like you have to be on your P's and Q's, and it's wild, and it just makes me appreciate the fact that Trish Stratus was able to hang with them, and she's a lot older than that, and she got a lot more rust. And it's kind of like, how are you better in your 40s than your 20s? And it's not like you was, and it's not like you were practicing. Like you was just, oh, I was rusting at home in Toronto, and then they called me
Yeah,
up.
me and my real estate mogul husband were, putting in ring hours.
Yeah, like I took time off from making a movie so I could just have a cage match. It's kind of like it just shows where we kind of brush it off. It's like, yeah, she was hanging with people that she had no business hanging with at that age, and it's wild where she had better matches recently than she had when she was hanging with Charlotte, and she had a great match with Charlotte, and she had no business hanging with Charlotte. And it was like, and then you talk about years later. She got better? How you getting better when you're older? And you're not wrestling.
We've talked about a lot of these tonight. Exception to the rule, even amongst people that are all exceptions to the rule, you
Yeah,
know, like.
because we kind of put Trish Stratus, like, always the Mount Rushmore greatest woman WWE wrestler of all time, and there's a lot of talk to that. But it was never where she was like the best ring worker. She was just kind of like good in
No.
everything. The fact that she's a better ring worker now than she was in her prime when she didn't have the time to kind of put that in is like she's going toe to toe with Becky Lynch, and she hanging with Becky Lynch with no problem. Like, and Becky Lynch like the top of the damn food chain, and it was like no problem. And I'm like, yeah, that's not normal. Like,
No,
no,
no.
that's nowhere close to normal. And it's kind of like, and it's weird where Trish never had that whole ring general. Like, people used to think she was kind of like a little overrated when it came to the ring. She never had that whole I'm the ring general thing. And the fact that she's able to do it just shows like how awesome she really was. But also kind of like, as Charlotte pointed out, just because I'm 40 don't mean I'm washed. Like, if I was a man, I'd be in the main event, like all them other old ass men in the main event. But how come the women, you hit 39, it's like, I don't know how much time they got left in the tank. You see Charlotte Flair? I'm like, does Charlotte Flair like she washed? Charlotte Flair look old? No, I'm like, Charlotte Flair looked the best she ever looked. And it's kind of like, I don't know if Andrade was stressed out that much or Alexa's just cheering her up or what it is. Charlotte Flair is just like, she just having the time of her life.
Yeah, Charlotte is definitely living her best life at the current moment, and I applaud her for that.
Did we talk about, before we go, you talk about her birthday party when it was her and it was like Jade Cargill and kind of, and Ric Flair was just saying like, I just look up to Jade and it is such a good friend. He out crying like Jade just a part of the family and everything. Did we talk about that?
I'm not sure that I remember hearing about this. Honestly, I was thinking more about flirty Charlotte Flair here recently, to be quite honest
Oh
with you.
yeah, Charlotte is basically like she has made a glow up, and I'm kind of like, all of a sudden she just sound like I'm gonna look like an R&B diva and just live my best life, and it
I
works,
am
and
not arguing.
like she just looks great. She's having fun in the ring. She's having great matches, and it's like, and they need to have that. Her and Jay just need to have that match. Let's just stop playing around.
Oh my gosh. They have now teased that more than any other match in history, almost. Like,
Yeah.
'cause what? Were they involved in the six woman? Yeah. And they had a couple of moments, but come on, guys. We've been hyping this since before Jade was officially signed on TV. Like, I feel like that was the first confrontation, maybe, where they both kind of just looked at each other
Yeah, she does. She did a flex like, yeah, I got muscles too, bitch. With a
like,
laughing way. And it's wild because they're such good friends behind the scenes. So they're gonna have good chemistry. And you know how Charlotte is when she wrestles people that she likes, especially people that's a certain complexion. That kind of like, if they got the same skin tone as me, it tend to look a certain way. And
Yeah, and
that.
then that's the opposite. We just talked about Paige and Bree not being able to bring across their outside friendship. Those two definitely bring it every time. Like, you can tell that they have a chemistry that comes off on TV.
Yeah, with those two and Kiana, like, and Kiana James, aka like my workout buddy, my I'm going to Kiana James' house for, fan reunion. I guess they both started working out because they both had ACL injury on the same time. Like they both work out hard. They seem like gym animals, and we've talked about that. All you gotta do is you see Charlotte Flair on Instagram and you see the people she hang out with, and it's like you see the people that like her, and it's kind of like, yes, like she likes a certain type of person. Besides Alexa Bliss, it's like all her friends tend to look a certain way, and that don't seem to be by accident, and it works with the ring chemistry. This Rhea Ripley thing is kind of like, I know they tease this whole Rhea Jay part two, and don't get me wrong. For all the noise and mess around the two of them, they had a great WrestleMania match. Like when push came to shove, like the ring work was actually, it was like, you know what? Forget all the promo stuff. Let's just fight. And like they both, so I have no doubt they
I
will have a good
think
match.
Jade put that one to sleep. Like, I 'cause I even feel like I was just like, I don't know. She keeps on having these matches that I'm not quite sure about. And that one at WrestleMania, it's just like, no, it's a great match.
Yeah,
Like, we're done with this conversation. Thank you very much.
I think she works well with certain people, and when she allowed to like cut loose, it looks good. But her whole always thing is kind of like she has great physical traits, she has great looks. She just didn't have enough experience because she just
Oh.
didn't have enough like when she was the AEW, it's like I wrestle what once every 2 weeks or once a month, and that's it. And that's all she was doing. And then she didn't go to NXT because she like, you see what I look like? I ain't going no damn NXT. Fuck out my face. And I don't blame her one bit. She like, so, and then it's kind of like she was like learning on the go, with Naomi and Bianca. So she didn't have a lot of chance to have like single matches, but when she had one with the right people, it popped. And I just don't see like the ring work with her and Rhea's fine. It's just everything else because it's kind of like Rhea on SmackDown like a waste.
Yeah, well, I don't I guess we'll see what happens after this, because this is the natural feud to continue. I'm still assuming because they gave Rhea the win at WrestleMania that she wins the Clash in Italy here and continues the reign. Like, I don't feel like the reign is over yet for
But I'm
her.
like, who even? My whole thing is, I guess we can rank up. We talk about the tag teams. Who beats her? Like, eventually they're gonna have to like break up one of these tag teams. Like, I know Charlotte and Alexa are fine being buddy buddy, but Charlotte keeps talking about, I'll still love you. I love you, sis. I'll be eyeballing that title. And Alexa's like, keep your eyes on that. But even Alexa be kind of eyeballing it too. It's like, I don't want to shortchange Alexa Bliss because it's kind of like we were talking about Charlotte Flair and the fact that Alexa Bliss had a baby, came back and didn't miss a step, and basically helped Charlotte Flair become lovable. We kind of like don't give her enough credit for that because that was.
It's mainly because the only thing she hasn't done a whole lot of is, in ring work since she came back. 'Cause she's still a great character. And I don't think that she's slacked off in the ring, but because she's mostly been in the tag team.
But when she had the single matches, you just realize it's like, yeah, there's a reason they called her the fifth horsewoman. It's like she still got the ring work. She just don't have to do it as much because it's a tag team. And I think a lot of the heavy lifting has just been promos and like the backstage stuff where her kind of.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I was looking at the SmackDown roster here, and again, I said it earlier in the show, it is wild to make this statement, but they still need more women on the main roster.
Yes.
Because it's like Tiffany Stratton, Rhea, Piper Niven's on the shelf, Nia Jax, tag team, Naomi. Pregnant slash just had a child. Meechan, hey, found a role. Lash Legend, tag team, Lainey
I
Reed,
mean,
good
Julia,
role.
you got her there. She changed her hair.
Yeah, she's the only one. Like, they still need to pull the trigger on her and Kiana breaking up and just have them be in the single division because not that they'd be great challengers for Rhea necessarily, and I wouldn't see either of them unseating them as we talk right now. I wouldn't be surprised that the way that Michael Cole has talked about Kiana James to see a full-on push for her at some point would not surprise me at all. It still hasn't happened though either.
Yeah, like she also had to come back from an injury, like a serious injury, and it's kind of like
Yeah.
she had a great character in NXT. She got put to Raw. They didn't know what to do with her, and then she got hurt, and then people forgot about it. Then she came back, and it's kind of like,
Yeah, it's been slow going,
yeah.
and
But
it
she.
th this breakup seems like it's gonna be some type of catalyst, 'cause I feel like Julia's almost there too. You know what I mean? Like, both of them seem like they're close enough to the cusp of getting over and being players that they'd really help any division, whether it's the what the US, oh yeah, because it's the women's US championship too, isn't it? Is
Yeah.
it not on SmackDown? So I mean, they could use both of those bodies in this singles
It's
division.
wild with the whole Julia thing because it's kind of like they know they had something with her, but they didn't know how to push her. Like they were kind of like, just have her go out there and beat people up. Just have her be beautiful and insane and just beat people. That's it. You don't have to make it
Oh.
complicated. And I think what happened with her is kind of like, Stephanie came right after her, and Stephanie like sucked the air out of like her and Jordynne Grace and Zarya, because it's kind of like because
Yeah.
we never bring up
And
Jordynne
Jordynne
Grace.
Grace, she's another one. I had cut off the list before hitting her name.
I mean, I think she had like it was partly she got injured and then partly kind of like we don't know if we can let her do what she can do because we don't want her like breaking people in half. Like that match she had at Julia NXT was great, but like, no, y'all do that in the main roster, y'all gonna be on the shelf. Like save that old Japan shit. Like, no, we don't do that here because we don't want our people retiring at 27.
Yeah, we want you to be wrestling at Charlotte's age here, so why don't we cut that nonsense out?
So it's kind of like, figuring out what to do with the people you have, and it's kind of
Yeah,
like this.
that still needs some work on SmackDown.
And then it's just, they just have a mix of like, they have the veterans, they have the rookies, they have the legends. So it's like the fact that you have the Bellas and Paige on the same show with like somebody like Roxanne Perez just breaks my brain. Because it's like, I remember watching the Bellas and Paige, what, 12, 13 years ago? Maybe 14, 15, maybe even 15 years ago.
Well, it's been wild because I think both Blake Monroe and Roxanne Perez have done like the this was me at a WWE event 10 years ago. This is me in the WWE event
Yes.
now.
Like,
It's just like, oh my gosh, like this is
you see a picture of Bayley
wild.
Roxanne Perez, like she's like 11, and now they have it matches against each other and just seem normal. And it's like, you forget, it's like, oh, I remember Bayley just came. I'm like, Bayley almost 40. Like, all the horse women are like, they not old, but they not 28 anymore. It's kind of like, we've been watching them for like almost a decade. And
Yeah, it's pretty wild. They have been up to on the main roster like
yeah.
nine, I want to say, years now
So
without
think, yeah.
actually looking it up.
So think about, you have that, and then you have people in the ring that wrestled 10 years before they did, and they're on the same show. And I'm not even talking about Natalya. So,
Oh
like,
my
you basically had
God.
like four. I'm not even talking about, the fact that, AJ came back, just like, or Trish Stratus was there a few years ago. Sometimes you might turn and you might have like four generations of women on the same show. And they all just wrestling each other, and it just feels like normal. And it's kind of like, it wasn't always that way, especially with the women. It was not that always that way. But one last thing, we can go to my older women. So Natalya come out with an autobiography, and apparently Hollywood wants to adapt it for a movie.
Sure. If she says so.
It wasn't her saying so. It was like wrestling websites were
Sports
saying so.
Illustrated said so.
Yeah. It wasn't me. It was Bleacher Report.
It's Bleacher Report said
I mean, we
it.
laugh, but you got to think about it. I know people tend to roll their eyes at her, but if you look out from the outside, look at her career, she's had a very intriguing and interesting life. Like the fact,
Yeah.
like, she's basically.
She did, like, I think it started with Total Divas. Like, he came off so unlikable to me, and I don't think I've ever recovered from that since that time period. Like, and I know that that is a long time ago now to not recover from something like that.
But you know what's
I need to
funny?
look that one up,
We
actually.
laugh at that, but there's a whole generation of women talk about, I became a wrestler because of Total Divas.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying that it didn't do its job, but I'm also saying, oh, it debuted 2013 to 2019.
Yes.
So yeah, I have found Natalya unlikable just in pretty much every way
I
for more
mean,
than a decade now.
is she has that sanctimonious heart gene to begin with, that whole I'm better than everybody, y'all don't appreciate me because I do things the right way. And it's kind of like, it's been there with all of them, and it's a reason why even people appreciate Bret Hart. He kind of picked, like, here you go again. Like,
Yeah.
it's a people reason to have that. And Natalya is one thing about Natalya, she is not humble. Like, she is very, she
No.
will let you know. And but to be perfectly fair, considering that she's been wrestling almost 20 years, why should she be? Like,
Yeah, she's the only one that has kept a job that long in the WWE as a woman.
yeah, and it's like, she's the last heart that's basically wrestling. She basically, like, I had people come out, people come to my house and train every week. Like, she's, she still can wrestle. She's still there. Like, she can be on the main roster. She can be a mentor NXT. She could show up in the indies. Like, she's still
And
in.
she has taken advantage of the AAA thing too herself.
Yeah, as she should. And it's kind of like, And the fact that she's also somebody that seemed to be aging backwards, where it's kind of like she could basically do that to another 7, 8 years if she want to, because she seemed like at the point where she's like a lifer, like, you know, when you retire, you're just gonna be a coach or an agent anyway.
Oh, yeah, I would expect so. Like, I'd be
So,
shocked if something otherwise happened.
no, like you're the
Or she just
daughter.
runs her school full time and
Yeah, like, you know,
that's what she does.
like you're the daughter of a legend, you know, of a legendary tag team wrestler. You're part of the Hart family. You marry somebody that, you know, broke his neck and basically can wrestle, and you still out here wrestling around using Total Divas, and you still around. Like, and the fact that she's still doing it, like, that is a very heartwarming story. If you just take a step back and you're like a non, it's like basically like we watched the
Oh.
Iron Claw. That movie hits non-wrestling fans a lot different than us, because us is like, you know, it didn't work. That match don't make sense with Harley Race. It didn't work that way. Why they get that dude to play Ric Flair? Why they play it? Like, we all nitpicking. They didn't really flip a coin and blah, blah, blah. Like,
The people with the dollar signs in their eyeballs are not worried about us heathens that have been in this for too long. They're
yeah.
looking at a larger audience that's gonna love this story,
Because, you
and like you
know,
said, rightfully so for the most part,
because
you know.
sometimes you can know so much about a subject that you can't focus on the story. You just focus on everything that you see that may be wrong. And it's kind of like, you know, you can't see the forest from the trees type thing. It's like, because
Yeah.
I watched the Iron Claw and I enjoyed it for what it was. But part of it was I understood like it was like a dramatic story about it. So I wasn't getting caught up in like the
The
nuance and stuff.
details, you
Yeah.
know, things.
Why they play it off like he was shooting on Ric Flair? I was like, it's for drama. Why
Yeah.
y'all act like you Dave? I was like, you know, like it's funny how, and then it's kind of like that movie was very depressing, and the sad part about it was it could have been a lot more depressing. I'm watching the AE biography on that fan, like I'm on part two, and I'm kind of like,
Oh,
and the
well,
worst
he
part about
said.
that movie is sometimes I watch in the background, the Iron Claw.
Oh,
I had no idea why.
yeah.
Like I watched it, like, oh, here go the part where Carrie about to die. Yeah.
Yeah, that is never gonna happen in this household, due to multiple reasons. Yeah. Okie doke. Well, you said you wanted to get out of here, and I
Yes.
talked about Michael Jackson and having a connection to my beer tonight, inspired by Jade Cargill, Meechin, and B-Fab. There is a brewery not too far out here in Newark, Ohio, called Dank House Brewing, and they
What a
did
name.
a beer called Annie, Are You Okay? Still not completely sure how they got away with naming it, but sure enough,
Because
they
the man
did.
is gone.
It is a red ale, of course, the tagline for the beer is "You've been hit by and a lot of dots, a smooth criminal."
That is getting infringement to the nine.
I knew that I was strapping in for a long show. Red ales are not particularly heavy. I think this one's, yeah, is 5% alcohol, but it was a nice big beer to enjoy over the course of the show here. Should one find themselves in the Columbus area, or like they sell in some random ass spots like Wisconsin and Norway, of all wild places, because they have some interesting connections. If you happen to be able to get your hands on some Dank House Brewing beer, I say go for it, should you like that kind of thing. That is the Bell Time Beer from at DeFrango 11. He is at Philly underscore trucks. I can't remember. I feel like you changed the handle back and I keep on using the old one.
That's fine.
But
I don't want people to find me anyway.
fair enough. Brand is at Sunk Granny. Rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Shahid. Go ahead and wrap this thing up with a nice tidy bow here, sir.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and keep your heads up and protect your prostate. We are out.